Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Evelyn Sherwood. Evelyn is on the show today talking about how a little calm goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Evelyn has written a book titled Just Breathe, and she's on the show today giving us practices to provide breathing space for our heart and mind when life feels chaotic. We pray today's episode brings calm to your weary heart.
Well, hello, Evelyn, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, it's so good to be here with you, Rachel. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. We've been online friends for quite a while. I was trying to think how we originally met or how we connected, maybe through Hope Writers. Is that right?
I think that was it. I think that's the first time your name popped up. And I just, at that point, you know, you just kind of know when you start reading the hearts of people, you just get a feel. And I just thought, I want to get to know Rachel. I love her heart and I love what you were putting out into the world. And yeah, so we did, we connected, and yeah, it's been wonderful.
Yeah, we've collaborated on several projects since, and now I'm just so excited to get to introduce listeners to you if they don't already know you, because you have just released a new project that I'm so excited about. And I was telling you today, you were so gracious. I've had a chaotic day and I just kept saying, oh, can you reschedule this? And can you push back here? But we're talking about being calm today. And I said, oh, more than anybody else, and probably everybody else listening is thinking, I need some calm in my life too. And so today is all about your book. It's called Just Breathe, 30 Practices to Calm the Weary Heart. And so I'm just so excited to dive into this. So as we begin our conversation, will you share about your life's circumstances that surrounded writing this book?
Yeah, well, you know, it was about 5-6 years ago when I felt like the Lord gave me the green light to start writing and to pursue publishing. It had been something in my heart since fourth grade. But such as you said, life gets chaotic and it happens. And I was raising kids and caring for aging parents, that kind of stuff. And then God gave me the green light. And I had another book totally in mind. It's still marinating. But my husband in 2019 was exposed to mold and got some fungal pneumonia, was in the hospital. I almost lost him a couple times. And he was seeing a pulmonologist and an infectious disease doctor, and he came home and we thought we were safe. And then a pandemic hit. And you know, I have to preface it with that because it played a big part in what happened at the end of 2020. So my dad had also moved in at the same time, and I was caretaking. He was in congestive heart failure. And so there's just a whole lot of pieces, and sometimes it's hard to untangle them because they're so interwoven into the very fiber of what God was teaching us. So we went on lockdown before the world went on lockdown. Per the request of the infectious disease doctor, she said, your husband's lungs are very damaged and he cannot, you know, get this. So we went ahead and I started working remotely, and we thought we were doing really good until the fall, the first part of November of 2020, and a brief exposure. I went into the office to get some paperwork and had a conversation with someone who had a headache, had no idea that was COVID. 2 days later, called me up and said, I've been exposed. And so my husband and I kind of dropped to our knees a little bit and went, oh God, what do we do? What's going to happen now? And 2 days after, that was on a Friday, by Sunday, my husband was full-blown symptomatic with COVID-19. And 2 days after that, I was symptomatic. And when I say symptomatic, I mean, we had everything. Like, we had the weakness, the shortness of breath. And so we immediately called up his doctor and said, what are the things that are triggers to know to get to the hospital? And so by the following Sunday, we were at the ER and I was dropping him off. And it was just a very strange time. We've done ministry for a long time, but everything was shut down. I couldn't go in with him. And there was just a strange eerie isolation that happened as I watched him walk the corridor into the ER by himself, not knowing if I'd ever see him again. What I didn't know was 2 days later, I'd be at the ER dropping myself off. And so we were both in the hospital with COVID-19 pneumonia. He was in ICU. Once again, I almost lost him a couple times there. But within a week, we both came home. They wheeled us out wheelchairs, tethered to oxygen together. And the halls were lined with medical staff going, "You're our hope story. You're our hope story," because they were losing so many people. So we came home, and that was in November. 2 weeks after we were home, I got the results of a CT scan that revealed I had blood clots in my lungs. And that dropped me to my knees again. And I went, "Dear God, I could be here and then gone in a split second and not even know it." And so they started me on some blood thinners. At the same time, my dad is still in his state of congestive heart failure. And so trying to, everybody that we're helping is, we're all sick, you know? So I was on blood thinners for 6 months, and I went back for a follow-up CT scan revealing that the blood clots were gone. And I was like, "Yes, this is great." But they found something suspicious in my uterus. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And they're like, "But don't panic. We don't think it's anything, but we're going to start running some tests just to make sure." And so, but I had a weight lifted off. That was in April. And I just felt the sense like, okay, but I don't have blood clots that are going to take my life in a split second. And then my dad's health went declined very rapidly. And by the end of May, he had passed away from pancreatic cancer that they discovered in that month time frame. So we just went from like COVID-19 to blood clots to cancer to fast forward the testing revealing by August, I was having surgery to move cancer that they found in me. And then by October, I was starting chemotherapy. So in an 11-month time period, it was like storm riding in on top of storm. And I just felt like I couldn't catch my breath. So that just led up to me just saying, "God, what, how do I begin to process all this pain, all this chaos? Like I can't wrap my head around all the doctor's visits, all the, you know, the shoe dropping, like every other day. It just, there was always something." And so that kind of led into what ended up being this Just Breathe book. It was the book I didn't see coming, but God was writing.
Yeah, I mean, something, you know, obviously I hate it that you've gone through every ounce of that you've gone through, but I think what's so powerful about your testimony is how many people you're helping through what now they are going through. You
Yeah.
can truly empathize and understand. And you know, you and your husband are actually in pastoral ministry, and you have been for almost 40 years. So during that time of sickness, where you're usually the one going out and ministering, was it almost an opposite time where people began to minister to you? I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, it was an interesting time. There's a real humility when we just lay our lives out there and let people come in and walk it with us when we're in the trenches. And we were in the trenches, and we were so gracious because people stepped up to the plate in ways that we never could have imagined, and really helped walk us through that, not trying to fix us because there was no fixing what we were going through. There was only, you had to walk through it. And people just came in, they walked with us, they brought meals. I had a lady put my Christmas tree up for me because she knew that I would love it up, but I had no energy. Our energy was so depleted. I've never felt that weak in my life. But even though God was sending people to minister to us, he did some very interesting things within us that he wanted us to keep serving. And God and I had some conversations about that. I was like, "God, I don't, you know," the first time that he just kind of gave me this God nudge, I was in the hospital gasping for breath, even tethered to oxygen. And I was laying on the hospital bed, and I just felt the Lord just say, "Write from your hospital bed." And I was like, "God, do you see where I'm at? Do you understand what I'm feeling? Like, I don't have the capacity." And he goes, "It's okay that you don't. Just right, because a lot of people need to know that I'm faithful in the messy middle and I'm with them." and share your story from the messy middle. So I began writing. And when I look back over those journals and even like the social media posts that I started putting out at that point, I know it was God writing it because I don't remember writing a lot of that. And so God was doing a beautiful thing by opening up the body of Christ, sowing into us, but also that gave us strength to do some things that God was asking us to do that we did not have in our own strength. So
I'm interested because out of all the things that you went through, I mean, that is such a trying season. How did you keep your faith? Because it's easy for us, I think, when we're going through really hard times to question God, like, God, I've served you for the last 40 years in pastoral ministry. What in the world are you doing? You know, I mean, I think that that's a very fair human question. So, I think for those that are listening that are going through really hard times, especially as believers, I don't know, how are you able to keep your faith?
I think that's a great question too, because I don't want to paint a picture that we just came through and we never questioned, because we wrestled. I wrestled hard with God about a lot of things. And he kept taking back to, am I enough? Evelyn, am I enough for you? Do you trust me? And it really was a season of surrender. I had to lay aside everything because I love to plan things. I'm a go-getter. I am always coming up with ideas and have been known in my prior to the pandemic to be a full throttle kind of person. You know, I'll just push through and push through. But what we went through was so intense, there was no pushing through. And so I found, though, that God just really was so faithful. And scriptures that I had learned, like, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I learned what it meant to walk in the sweetness of his presence. That was unexplainable, even in my questioning, even in my uncertainty, even in my fear when I wondered if I would live or I would die. And it was just every day, every moment was a surrendering. But I think, you know, how I really walked through that was there were a couple of key things. One of them was intentionally remembering, even when I was at my worst, when like my eyes were too tired to read, my quiet time with the Lord consisted of me getting up and saying, God, I got nothing today. Like, I don't even have the energy to pray a prayer. I'm so exhausted. I would just put on the Bible on Audible so I could still have it pumping into my body. We had it going on in our home constantly. There's a great YouTube channel called Soak Stream, and they just have someone speaking scripture with gentle music in the background. We played that constantly in our home. People gave me coloring books that had scriptures, and I would just sit for hours and just color, because like I said, reading was really hard and taking in huge chunks of information was very challenging. But I found small things. I know you talk a lot about how a little goes a long way. There were these little things throughout the day that would just anchor me back to God. Remembering who he was, remembering who I am because of who he is, and clinging to his promises and knowing that all his promises are true. They're yes and amen. And it may not look like it's being lived out in the moment, but God will bring it about in his time. And so intentionally remembering was one way. And then the other thing, going along with that, Lamentations 3:21, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord goes on and on. His mercies never end. They're new every morning. And I held on to that passage. And then I think remembering can also be a tricky thing, though, too, because you don't want to be stuck in your past, but I would remember what God had done in my past and how he had faithfully carried me through. It was remembering who he was in my past that gave me the strength to walk into my future. So I would say that was probably a key tool for me in walking through it, was just remembering who God was.
I think that that is something so simple, but so powerful. That, you know, if everybody listening is like, I need hope. You went to God's word and you remembered what he did for other people and what he's done for you to look forward to a hopeful future. And I think that that is just really beautiful and great wisdom. So you've talked about hope in the midst of trials. We've talked about recalling God's work in our past to help us in our present. And so let's talk about how you can remind others that we can make it through to the other side. Like, we all need a lifeline, you know, for those that are like, I'm drowning and I'm grasping for something. What was that lifeline for you?
Well, I think we kind of hit on it earlier, was the support system we had. There were days I knew, like I said, when I just didn't even have the strength to pray, but I would get text or I get a private message of someone who said, God laid you on my heart, I'm praying for you. Or they'd send me a song that God had touched their heart with, and I would listen to the song and just weep and go, that was exactly what I needed today. And I think just knowing that God is at work in his people all the time, if we're listening and paying attention, you may be the one who's able to give out and to serve others with that. You might be on the receiving end, like we found ourselves for, you know, those 11 months intensely. And God was whispering our name to people, and then they would reach out. And that was so encouraging to us. And then the other thing is, when I went through chemo, my oncology nurse introduced me to something, and I had heard the word, but we really don't talk about it a lot in our churches. I think we need to more, and I'm trying to help do my part to change that. But she introduced me to a book on lamenting. Biblical grieving goes deeper than just the world's way of grieving. And it is being able to put the name to it, speak it out, say it, be honest. You know, if it stays buried in the darkness of our heart and never comes to light, where his light can shatter the darkness that we're carrying. So I learned, she introduced me to a book. It's called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercies by Mark Vrogop. And it just walks you through how to lament, how to peel back the layers. And we had so many layers of loss and grief and uncertainty that I really needed a practice to help me. So I started lamenting, telling God exactly how I felt, where I was hurting, why I was scared. But then you anchor it back, like David did so many times in the Psalms. You take it right back to, but you, O Lord, are the strength. You are my refuge. You are my very present help in time of need. So being real about the pain, but then remembering who is with us in the pain and leaning on him.
Wow. I love how, again, how you're empathizing, but then you're also giving us practical tips to not just leave us where we are, but to move through with the Lord. And so now you are that lifeline in many ways to women walking through really difficult times. And so your book, Just Breathe, is composed of 30 bite-sized gentle practices, which I love that they're bite-sized. It's like, you can do this, you can read it. Like, when you're just exhausted and feel like you don't have energy to do anything, you can read one of these bite-sized scriptures, and you've got soothing illustrations, and it just provides breathing space for your heart and mind when life feels chaotic. So I would love for, out of those 30, I know it's probably hard, but do you have a favorite practice for you that helped you?
Well, actually, I have two that kind of jump out to me.
Hard to choose.
It is hard to choose. And, you know, for those listening, just to let them know, what happened was, after chemo, I knew I needed a practical, tangible, physical way to start pulling back layers. And they offered a free art therapy class for oncology patients. And so I thought, God, I'm going to join that. I, you know, because writing is hard right now. A lot of words are daunting to me. But I think I can put my hand to colors and paints and textures. And so I did, and I started painting my pain, really, was what I was doing. I was painting through the process and all the things that God was teaching me, because I didn't want to forget. And about 15 paintings in, I felt that nudge again, like, Ev, this isn't just for you. And I went, oh, well, I don't know what that means, God, but I'll just follow you, whatever the next step looks like. And I just kept painting away. And then I had a stack of these little 4x6 paintings, and on the back of each one are scriptures that they remind me of. So when you open up the book, you're going to get one of those lessons, a little scripture, and it's paired with a painting, and the whole thing, just a 2-page spread that's pocket size, is just a safe place for your weary heart to land. So number 9 is one of my favorite: learn to give thanks for little things. Gather gratitude like you're picking wildflowers, and before you know it, your heart will be adorned with a bouquet of blessings. And there's the picture is a bouquet, and the scripture is from Philippians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And I've heard that, I grew up hearing that verse and always knew just talk to God about everything. But I never realized there's a two-step plan to his peace. We talk to him about everything, but we also remember and give thanks for what he already has done. Then the peace of God will settle our hearts into him in ways that we can't understand. I don't know how we walked through what we walked through with such peace and joy other than this. Just keep taking it back to him. So that's one of them. And then the other one is number two is just a little sea turtle. We had a chance to swim with wild sea turtles years ago when our kids were home, and they're just so slow and methodical in how they float through the ocean. But the doctors repeatedly would tell my husband and I, your recovery is going to be long and it's going to be slow. Just take it steady and stay the course. And so number two in the book is, when we are faced with life's uncertainties, it's okay to slow our pace and steady ourselves. Some circumstances cannot be rushed. Slow, steady, stay the course. And Psalm 27:4, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous, yet wait patiently for the Lord. And I love that slow and steady doesn't mean inactive. It just means you're going at a different rhythm than what you've known.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And for those listening, the artwork really is, it's beautiful as well, and just really soothing. And actually, Evelyn, and I love that you say that God calls you Ev. I think that is so precious. Like, you all have this like nickname, just such an endearing quality. I love that you were told that story the way that you did. But I actually just had a mammogram, I guess I'll just go ahead and tell everybody. And I had to go get a follow-up mammogram, and they were doing the ultrasound. And I, you know, it just is nerve-wracking. Anytime you're in any medical office, it just is nerve-wracking, no matter what you're having done. But so as I'm kind of getting and feeling anxious, I look to my left above me on the bed, and on the wall is a painting, and there's a scripture, and it says, do not be anxious about anything. As I'm like, oh Lord, I, you know, just wrestling in my own heart. And it really is true. It was just such a beautiful reminder that he saw me in that moment. And it was like that verse was right there for me exactly when I needed it. And I think, you know, that's why it's so important that we put these verses in our hearts for when we need them. But then God is so sweet and so kind to us to put them on a picture, to put them in a book, to give them to a friend to text us at just the right time. And so, okay. So I loved those two favorite practices. I'd love to hear, what has been the hardest practice for you?
Oh yeah, there's one. And I think probably most women will identify with this because we are always trying to manage and juggle so many things, caring for our families, our children, you know, our parents. Many of us work jobs and we're just trying to juggle everything. So number eight was really, really hard for me. But a dear friend told me this. She said, Evelyn, learn to be gentle with yourself. And I went, wow, like I can be gentle with other people, but to be gentle with myself, I'm probably hardest on myself. So number eight says, if life's waves beat you down, be gentle with yourself. Let go of trying to stay afloat on your own strength and let God's grace carry you. And then the scriptures from Isaiah, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. And there's a little dragonfly. And I love that verse too, because after I had chemo, my hair came back pure white. So that's this scripture really means a lot to me now. But that one paired with, I think, goes along with number nine too, which is letting go of expectations. I had a really hard time knowing that our holidays were looking very different. I didn't have the capacity to cook the whole meal like everybody wanted cooked, or like We had always done activities that we love going ice skating with our kids and grandkids, and there was no energy to do that. And so letting go of my expectations, allowing myself to really go, it's okay right now. It won't always be this way, but for this season, this is the way it has to be so that my strength can be regained, and that the strength that I do have now, I can give it in a way that I parcel it out in smaller chunks instead of going full throttle, giving everything all the time. There are times you really just can't push through, and it's okay when you can't.
I would love to hear how your health is now, and your husband too. Like, are you all both doing better, or are you still in about the same place?
Well, the good news is we were just talking about this recently. So, you know, we're in 2023 now, and it really took us the full 3 years to regain our strength and say that we feel somewhat normal. Now, occasionally I'll have a day where I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a jammy day. Nothing's going on. I really have to tend to my own body because I can tell when my tank is getting low. And so just making sure that I fuel that tank. But I just had a checkup. I've been on a 2-year, what they call observation period, where every 3 months I get blood work done and they check my numbers and have exams and see the doctor. And I just had my last 3-month one, and now I get moved out to 6 months because my numbers have been great. So yeah, I'm just praising God and thanking him for that. And I didn't know, you know, there's so many things that you can go into. And I know there's so many listeners, some maybe that's not their story. And, you know, I didn't know that that would be my story. I remember the day that we told our grandkids that I had cancer, I knew the questions that would come out of their mouth, how I answered it would be very pivotal for them and how they felt about God and how they viewed suffering in the world. My two youngest grandsons looked at me and said, "Isn't cancer what great grandpa just died from?" So their minds were already thinking and pondering, like, "Are you going to die?" Even though that's not what they said, they were wondering that. And in a split second, I just said, "God, how do I answer them?" And I just looked at him and I said, "Boys, his story is not my story. God's writing a different story, and I don't know what that'll turn out like. I don't know what the end will be, but we're going to trust him to write the story that will bring glory to his name." So,
wow. And you are certainly doing that. And I'm rejoicing with you and your good news, and pray that you continue to stay healthy. And so, you know, for those maybe that are facing their own uncertain times today, or transitions or loss, for those struggling with any kind of chaos, how would you encourage them today to find calm?
Pause. Just pause and take a deep breath. Our very breath, I learned a lot about that during the COVID pneumonia, was God just reminded me of the very breath you have is from me. So just pause and take a deep breath, breathe him in. Remember that it is in him we live, we move, we have the very life that we have because of him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in the pause, then take a few minutes. It doesn't, oftentimes we're like, I don't have a whole weekend to have a retreat of quiet and sanctuary. Most of us don't, but it doesn't take a whole weekend. It just takes an intentional moment to pause, take a deep breath, and say, God, in this moment, I acknowledge you are with me right now. Remind me of that when my faith feels weak, when my knees are buckling underneath me. Just give that little, I call my little SOS prayers, but it anchors me back and reminds me. And sometimes when it gets really chaotic in the house and stuff, and just the, especially during the holidays right now too, there's a lot of weightiness. People have those expectations of what should happen, and we're busy trying to make those things happen. Step outside, look up, pay attention to all creation is groaning and reminding us and singing his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. They are singing reminders to us all the time. God is with us. So that would be my first thing, is just pause, breathe, take a few deep breaths, Ponder the Heavenly Father and ask Him to anchor your heart back to Him.
Beautiful. Talk about, you are just such a gentle, beautiful hearted, calming person. I could listen to you all day long. Like you really are writing about what you were meant to write about, because I feel that from your very essence. And so how has a little calm gone a long way in your own life? Because you seem really calm.
Oh, okay. Let me think about that for a minute. I think it goes back to, there was something that partway through, it was before even the cancer. I think God just kept showing me these little things about Him being with me. So, example, you know, we're talking about people give you scriptures and stuff. So I had that loop on YouTube going where the scriptures were going. I had just found out that I had the blood clots in my lungs. And I know there's at least at the minimum 100 scriptures on there. But every time I walked out of the room, came back in, the same scripture was playing. And it was just one of those like God winks, God hugs, God nudges, whatever you want to call them. But the scripture was, you will not die. You will live and declare the works of the Lord. And the first time it came on, I was like, that's just, you know, I'm not going to pull scripture out and just say, that's, you know, adamant that that's what God's giving me right now. But by the third time, I was like, okay, God, okay, I get it. You're reminding me that you're with me. And I would, and His word and His presence throughout that really did anchor me in a peace that I can't explain it. It was just, once again, just intentionally being honest with God, telling Him my heartbreak. And there would be days I'm like, God, you know, like I said, my quiet time, we hear that it should be a regimented thing. It became less of a regiment, more of a rhythm for me of each day. Some days it would look like I just put worship music on. Some days it would be, I would sit and weep. And some days He would just hold me. And then other days I'd write scriptures out, so I would remember them and retain them easier. But there was something that God taught me in that time. The sweetness of His presence surpassed the pain of my suffering. There's no substitution for the presence of God. I mean, He is always with us, but there are times He says, if you seek me, you will find me. I think there are times He reveals. We have that knowing, that Holy Spirit bears witness within ours that He is with us in that moment. And there's something that happens when His presence becomes revealed to us. It's like heaven kisses earth and things happen that are eternal and you can't explain them in our temporal language. So
your story gave me goosebumps and I'm like all teary-eyed the whole time you're talking and smiling. And I've felt every kind of emotion talking to you, but you are just such a grace-filled, faithful woman. And I'm so glad to get to know you. And I know other listeners are going to want to get to know you. So tell us how we can best do that.
Well, I have a website, evelynsherwood.com. You can find me on Instagram, Evelyn Sherwood Author. And I have a new author Facebook page that is also Evelyn Sherwood Author. Bear with me as I learn to navigate that, another place to add content. I'm still working on it, but that's there. And then you can find the book on Amazon, Just Breathe by Evelyn Sherwood. Type it in and it's there. And through the month of December, it's $10.99. And it is pocket size and it is a companion. It's meant to go in a pocket and a purse. It's one that most people that have purchased it have gone back and purchased it again to give to a friend who's hurting. So it truly is a companion that sits with you in uncertainties and that will bring calm just when you need it. So I think those are all the places.
Yeah. Well, you have certainly brought that to us. And yeah, everybody go out and buy a copy of that book for Christmas for somebody that is hurting today. So Evelyn, thank you so much for being my guest. You are just such a joy.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And I feel the same way about you, Rachel. There's a joy and a love of God that oozes out of you. And I appreciate that about you too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Evelyn Sherwood. We hope that today helps you encourage you to just breathe and that a little calm goes a long way. This week, your little task is to establish a daily routine of mindfulness or meditation. Spend a few minutes each day in quiet reflection, focusing on your breath and letting go of anxious thoughts. This practice can help center your mind, reduce stress, and bring a sense of calm to your daily life. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the Advent Devotional and the Who You Say I Am Devotional. Again, all of that information is at rachelkadams.com. Next week, my guest is Nikki Koziarz. She is on the show talking about how we are going to have a new now. So I can't wait to chat with you again then. But until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.